Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning and are on season 9 with after a slight detour for season 41. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris. And let's take a detour back up to season 42, drop the 4, keep the 2. They released contestant information this week.
Yes, I saw like screenshots and or like headshots and names, and I saw that there were bios, but I didn't look at the bios yet.
So I went and pulled some stuff from the bios, and I want to do a quick rapid fire yes or no with you. Okay. Of like, do you think this contestant will make the final 8 or not?
Oh, okay, cool. I'm glad I didn't read these bios yet.
So I've got 2 options. We could run through it twice, but that might seem like a lot. I have like a list of their names, their jobs, and their hobbies. I think the hobbies would be the most interesting one. But do you want names with those, or you just want hobbies like contextless?
Are there 18 total?
Yeah.
Just hobbies with no context. But then like after I do that, give the names of the people I said yes to.
Okay. That sounds good. I don't want any reasoning, just yes, no, like rapid fire.
Okay. Yes, finally, no, before that.
Correct. And I don't, okay. No main reason why I picked finally. I just did.
Okay.
All right. This person, their hobbies are exploring new countries, trying new cuisines, and blogging about them.
No.
Next, movie fanatic, Legos, keeping track of things, and Survivor.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to double back to that guy in a little bit. But next, working out and any kind of charity work.
No.
Traveling to new cities and using their public transit system to explore. Bringing my dogs to dog parks. Recreating all my favorite dishes from scratch using recipes I find online.
Yes.
Also, for the record, you don't need to keep track of 8. If we get to the end and you named like 11 people or something or 7, like that's fine, whatever. Yes. Next, puzzling, weightlifting, and dog walker.
No.
That was the first one I got wrong predicting what you would say.
Really?
Travel, Pilates, writing, watching movies.
Yes.
Working out, spearfishing, and surfing.
No.
Co-ed flag football in the sand at Bar A by the shore. Interior decorating for the holidays. Any high intensity or adrenaline activity. Snowboarding, paintballing, skydiving, wake surfing, etc.
Oh boy, that's a hard one. I'm going to say no.
Next, writing / comedy, going to music festivals, roller skating, and going to the movies by myself.
No.
Next, gardening, writing, in parentheses, poetry and spoken word, and Pilates.
Yes.
A lot of Pilates. Tabletop / video games, reading, and snowboarding.
Yes.
Working out, sports, and watching great movies.
No.
Training animals, Settlers of Catan, and watching TV.
Yes.
Playing with my kids, basketball, camping, and golf.
Yes.
Traveling, beauty pageants, and watching Survivor.
No.
Reading on the beach, theater, and all things Survivor.
Yes.
CrossFit, playing board games or card games, spending time with family. I'm the middle child of 5 kids.
Is this you? Yes. No.
Yeah, I'm a real CrossFit guy. Next, social strategy games, sketch comedy writing, and running.
No.
Okay. You ended up picking 9 to make the final 8. The first one you chose was Daniel. He's the one who liked Legos. Fun fact about him, kind of, that I learned from Reddit. With him, the past 6 seasons from 42 back have all included a Dan of some sort. Dan, Danny, Daniel, oh, some kind of fun. Dan.
He had Legos and something else, right?
Keeping track of things.
Oh, yeah. I just was like, he's going to be like detail oriented. He's going to be able to maintain, figure out all of the different alliances and like.
Mm-hmm. He's a law clerk. Next, you picked Hay or Hi, H-A-I is the name. Data scientist. He was one who likes traveling and using public transit.
Public transit is fucking hard to figure out. There's a lot going on there. I'm like, okay, yeah, he's going to be able to figure out like puzzles and how to work with people.
You also picked Jenny, who's a creative director. You picked Maria, who's a stay-at-home mom. Marianne, who's a seminary student. Omar, who's a veterinarian, Roxroy, who's a stay-at-home dad and has a fun name, Swati, who's an Ivy League student. When she spelled theater for her bio, it was spelled with an R-E instead of an E-R. So she fancy, or maybe like not natively American or something.
I spell it with an R-E. So.
And Tori is the middle child of five kids. She's a therapist, or they're a therapist. I guess I don't know necessarily. Yeah. So you picked nine out of those. Pretty good. Pretty good. We will see. I have got that typed up and saved, so we'll be able to compare to that in a few months and see if you were accurate on any of those.
I felt like working with people was like important to my decisions, and like, things that seemed relational.
You tend to say yes for games.
Yes. Because that's like a working with people and also like puzzling and strategy. And then I also said yes to Pilates because I feel like the other like athletic things, they've kind of talked about how like just being really strong isn't that helpful. Being like agile with good balance tends to be more helpful. Mm. And I feel like that's more Pilates.
One of the guys specifically listed social strategy games when you said no to them.
Because if he specifically says social strategy games, I think that he's going to be overconfident.
Yeah. Okay.
He thinks that he's going to be really amazing at Survivor.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So that's our first look at season 42, Drop the Four, Keep the Two, which will be coming up here in a few weeks. Before we get into this week's batch of episodes, I also have some listener mail.
Ooh.
We got an email from a person by the name of Mitch. And they said, "Hey, Patrick and Chris, I just got to your first episode of season 6 and I am loving the podcast so far. The fantasy aspect makes it so much fun. I absolutely love that you guys only did 2 total episodes on season 5 because that season was rough. Also, I think you guys did a great job talking about the Gandia and Ted situation. One thing I wanted to circle back to was Jerkygate. I thought the same thing that you guys did when I watched season 2, that Jerry was lying and Kel was definitely not eating beef jerky. But I looked into it a little bit and found out that Kel most likely did bring beef jerky.
What?
I found this article that I think does a good job explaining everything. I'll come back to that in a minute. The email goes on to say, not that this is a big deal, but when I looked into it, I had to tell my girlfriend and my roommate who I watched the show with right away. So I thought I would let you guys know as well. My girlfriend and I are about 4 episodes into season 10 and are watching Survivor for the first time ever, just like you guys. So getting to hear you guys also go through it for the first time is awesome. Keep up the great work. I'm looking forward to listening to you guys for future seasons."
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you, Mitch. Thanks for writing in.
The article that Mitch linked to is from medium.com. From a couple years ago, or 3 years ago, I guess at this point, 2019. A couple excerpts from it regarding this are in DVD commentary for that season. Tina and Amber both note that they had seen Kel get stopped multiple times by airport security for having beef jerky hidden on his person.
What?
Pretty big evidence. They also mention that through his military training, Kel had learned how to sew food in the seams of his pants. Another thing, Jeff Probst said in a 2005 interview, which would have been like 3-4 years after this season, that he thought that Kel had jerky. And then Jeff Varner, which this person, or the article labels it, Jeff Varner as disgraced survivor Jeff Varner's pre-Cambodia Reddit AMA, he discussed it and said, "Kel was totally eating beef jerky, totally. And here's why I know that. Number one, he got caught in front of all of us smuggling beef jerky into customs in Australia. We all stood there and watched as dogs and officers took it from a suitcase. Number two, pre-game, his bunk was across from mine in another room. I watched him sew the hem of his shorts one day. He saw me watching him, reached up and closed the door. Number three, he tried to smuggle in a second pair of shoes on game day after they had already cleared our bags. So they made us all stop, take everything out, and go through another inspection and made it clear in front of everyone it was because of Kel."
Okay, so that is pretty damning evidence. One thing to know, they had dogs sniff and like they, I assume, took all of the beef jerky. How did he still have beef jerky? Or were all of the contestants just like, "Kel and that fucking beef jerky. I bet that was some more beef jerky that he got past."
Yeah.
Like the dogs would have gotten it all right.
Probably. I don't know. Maybe he, I don't know. But Man, that guy must love beef jerky. Shit.
I wonder if it's like, if he learned how to sew food into his clothes, which is a wild thing. Like, beef jerky holds up and is full of protein and stuff. Yeah. So
yeah, I did not expect to be getting any new info for Jerkygate from 7 seasons ago, but here we are, and I'm happy about it. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, that's excellent. I'm very, very grateful that Mitch shared that with us. And oh boy, man, justice for Jerry, I think. Like, I like gave her a lot of shit back then for that. Of like, I think I might have even implicitly said, like, is this because Kel is a person of color? But that's all pretty good evidence that Kel actually messed up. And I apologize, Jerry Manthe.
That's kind of what the article talks about a little bit, is how the season got edited to make Jerry look more like a villain than she might have actually been. And that some of the villain stuff started with the jerky stuff.
Yeah. Which, like, when we were talking through season 8, I said that of like, I actually really like Jerry, I think. And she got screwed over in season 2, I think.
Yeah.
And in season 8.
All right. Well, thanks, Mitch, for writing in. Other listeners, or Mitch, if you want to continue writing in, feel free to do so. We love hearing your thoughts and your deep dives into Jerkygate. That's fantastic. Yeah. But let's get into this week's batch of episodes, because we have 4 episodes. No, not yet. Oh, shit. Okay.
I promised last week information on cargo cults, which are a big thing in Vanuatu and other Pacific Island nations. But I didn't want to talk about them last week because we didn't have time. So this week, when we're talking about 4 episodes in 1 podcast episode, figured we had plenty of time. Cargo cults are apparently a thing. I was looking up some information on just like Vanuatu in general, because I don't really know anything about Vanuatu. And specifically on the Lapevi and Yasser volcanoes, and discovered that those volcanoes are a big religious symbol in the John Froome cargo cult. And I was like, what does that mean? And apparently, during World War II, some of the like tribes on some of these Pacific islands came into contact with military forces who were like, you know, using the Pacific Ocean a lot for war stuff, and were fascinated by all of this technology that these military people had. And sometimes, as like a thank you for letting them use their islands or something like that, they would leave behind a bunch of cargo. And so then all those people just disappeared after the war was over. But some of the they would leave behind some stuff, like some clothing or whatever, back on these islands. And there has built these cults that are like pretty big, where people like will worship or do sacrifices or perform rituals in hopes that they will get technologically advanced stuff, like technologically advanced goods. Sometimes by like airdrop and things like that. And like in Vanuatu, there is apparently a like annual holiday where they do like a parade with like soldier, like American soldier garb on, as part of this religious ritual, which I had never heard of before and thought was very, very fascinating. Of just like the part of the culture of this island is has been impacted by the Second World War 80 years ago. The way that this comes into play is that there's one particularly big one in Vanuatu called the John Froome cult on Tana Island. But some people in that religion, it should be noted that like they call them cargo cults. It seems to be more of like a small religious sect. Like I don't love the name cult for this, because it's not really around like one big leader or something like that. But they believe that this person, John Froome, or sometimes John Broom or John Prume, is in one of the volcanoes and will like come back from the volcano at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, you know, there's all sorts of information about it. If you look up John Froome, F-R-U-M, or just cargo cults in general, a lot of stuff about Vanuatu comes up. If you want more information about it, because there's a lot of information about this that I just had never heard of before and thought it was really, really fascinating. Yeah.
Very cool. I wonder if any of that will come up in like, cause sometimes they try to like include local lore and things.
Yeah, I'm interested in that too. I don't know. I would be surprised if they handled it well, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also, listeners, you know, if I handled that poorly, let me know. One note is that I'm realizing as I'm looking at my information, that annual holiday, John Froome Day is what they call it, is in February. And I believe is on, it looks like it like changes a little bit each year, but is usually around February 15th, which I believe is when this episode will drop.
Yeah.
So happy John Froome Day. Are you noting that as an episode title?
Yeah. All right, cool. Very interesting. Lots of good info. Now maybe we'll talk about the episode.
Oh, I'm winning.
All right, so let's talk about episode 2, Burly Girls, Bowheads, Young Studs, and the Old Bunch. Opens with a pretty good quote, or pretty early on in the episode, a good quote from Bubba Travis. I switched to talking about him as Bubba exclusively in my notes. And when I was looking up Votagami stuff to see, like see, it said Travis got eliminated. And I was like, who the hell is Travis? I completely forgot about him. Yeah, at one point,
I think it's Lee says something about like feeling bad for Trav or something like that. And I was like, who?
The same thing happened with Lee for me too, though. Because like somebody later mentioned Lee and I was like, Lee? And I was like, oh, Sarge. Okay.
Sarge, yeah.
So nicknames are getting me. So anyways, he had a nice quote in the beginning where he said, I slept like a baby. Woke up every 3 to 4 hours and cried.
Yeah, I love that quote.
The guys are still trying to build fire to boil water, but they don't get it going yet. The women are chopping down some plantains from the tree. They find some maggots in their food that they were cooking, and some of them were very disgusted by it. Others were like, eh, nice protein, which is probably the right reaction to have. Just go for it.
Yeah, I think that that is... I mean, I would probably be like a little grossed out by it, but still eat it, which I think most of them did eat it. They just took a little bit longer.
Dolly is struggling a little bit. Seems to just be going through a little bit of an emotional struggle here. Twyla comforts her a little bit. But then to the camera, Twyla says that all the sorority girls need to just get over it. Basically, like they're here, get over it. What else do I have before the reward challenge? JP asks Travis Bubba if his name came up at tribal. He says yes. He knows his name is out there, and that's bad. Travis says he's a threat because of his personality and good looks. We're gonna see throughout like these whole batch episodes, JP, or I guess not the whole batch, a couple of these episodes, JP like trying to figure out like how to make some moves and get some things going.
Only two episodes because he does not last.
I actually thought he was going to make it farther. Cause it just like, he seemed to like be smart enough to realize he was like on the chopping block and was like trying to get stuff to happen. He just couldn't.
Yeah.
The reward challenge for this they line up on a beam and they basically have to like swap order. So like the one on the farthest end has to like cross in front of everybody. They can't touch more than one person at once. Proves to be way more challenging for the men than it does for the women. The women like just destroy this challenge.
There are times when Bubba, like, oh, sorry, not Bubba, Chris. Sometimes I mix them up. Mm-hmm. Seems to be like throwing people in. Bubba does.
That's what I thought too.
Was doing it. It's just like they have to like trust each other and like kind of both lean back as they're crossing each other.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't do it, and so it just like looks like he is. Pushing, failing the challenge.
So the women win that one. Their reward is pillows, a hammock, some blankets, and yeah, that's it. The guys were also playing for Flint, but they didn't win, so they did not get Flint yet.
And the women are super stoked about this and get excited.
Yeah,
and party.
They celebrate, and you go back to camp, and Rory thought it was bullshit. He's like, what, them celebrating? That sucks. And Sarge is kind of like, yeah, they won. Like, they should be excited.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Not a great look from Rory for some of this stuff.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, last episode, we kind of were like defending Rory and saying, like, he's right about this argument. He was wrong about this argument.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For the women, a chicken wanders near their camp. They try hunting it down and unsuccessful in stabbing it with a machete, but they do get 5 eggs, which is fun.
Yeah. It is fun. For some reason, I was sadder about them finding like eggs that this chicken was trying to protect than like if they had just killed the chicken. But I don't know what that says about me.
I feel like what I might have tried to do, I guess I don't know in the heat of the moment, but is like once I tried to stab the chicken and it flew away again, I feel like I'd maybe leave the eggs
as and, like bait.
Yeah. Cause it's going to maybe go back to its eggs and then you can get the chicken again.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So there's also some talk at the Yasser tribe with Twyla's trying to solidify an alliance of 5, which is kind of like the older ones, which is like Amy, Twyla, Scout, Leanne. And then she's trying to get like one more person, which is looking to be Dolly as like this pivot person. And then the younger ones would be the other half. So it'd be like 5 to 4. And so like most of this episode is talking about how Dolly is the pivot person, which is a nice twist we get at the end when we find out she's not.
Yes. Well, she was, and that was the problem.
Right. Yeah. I don't include much about tree mail, and it's a running joke on here that I don't pay attention to tree mail, but I did pay attention to this next bit of tree mail where the men open it and the tree mail talks shit about how their lucky stone is not working, which I just thought was funny.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. I did notice that. And I also, you know, we are now past episode 5. Lucky stone has not really mattered.
No. The guys do spend some time this episode trying to like do something about it. So they're like, maybe we should like honor the stone. And so they try to put it on the end of a post and like raise it up in the air. And then I think somebody says, it might be Rory says that like the minute they got it up, it just like started pouring down rain again. And they're like, oh, that can't be a good sign. We head to the immunity challenge where they have to find puzzle pieces, where people are blindfolded and tied together. And then they have a guide, who's like yelling out commands to them. And Scout is that
before.
Yeah. Scout is the guide for the women and Sarge is the guide for the eyes. It's semi close for a little bit, but Scout really messes up in like completely missing a piece and thinking that they're done when they're not done. Sarge does a pretty good job of this. We do get some conflict in between, or like between Sarge and Rory a little bit here. And we see it like come up later stuff too, where Rory's like trying to yell to get people's attention and Sarge yells at him to stop because he's messing him up. The men do end up winning this. And you know what? They all cheered, including Rory, who was talking shit about how you shouldn't cheer earlier in the episode. I didn't notice
that. That's pretty bad. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We go to the women camp here. This is like all we see for the rest of it because they're going to be the one that has to vote somebody out. Right. Eliza is crying and upset because she likes everybody. We kind of just see them bouncing around. Dolly's trying to figure out who to vote for, like which side she should go with. And her like indecision here is what causes her downfall, I think.
Yeah, and I think also her openness about her indecision. She talks to Eliza about the fact that she is the pivot person and she doesn't know what to do. And so Eliza is like, well, fuck it. I got to make a move then. What if we just turn this on Dolly? And she jumps with the older crew. The older crew is trying to get Dolly to team up with them. And she's essentially like, let me be your Dolly. I will team up with you instead. And we can get Dolly out.
One thing I noted, unimportant to the show, is that Eliza kind of looks a little bit like Kristen Milioti, the actress who played like the mom on How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Spoilers. And,
and the romantic lead of Palm Springs.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I guess I can kind of see that, but I don't think I ever would have thought that.
Yeah. Cool. We go to tribal council and Scout talks about how she blew the challenge. Eliza says that people have on and off days in terms of work, but that Twyla is always on. Leanne says that not being able to sleep has been tough. Dolly says that she thinks she's the deciding factor. And then we get the little bit of a twist, especially for her, that Dolly is out 5-4, which has happened 11 total times in all of Survivor. The two that we have seen before this have been Alicia in season 2 and Kelly in season 3.
I'm surprised that it's not more common than that, actually.
Yeah, agreed with like starting off with nine people and just having like a pretty split half and half tribe.
Yeah.
Maybe because they switched to doing a lot more like starting off with three tribes instead of two tribes or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Or that like it's not as common to have just like half and half in the tribe like this. Like,
yeah,
early on you eliminate a problem. And so it's like 8-1 is more common.
Yeah. And Dolly was on one of our fantasy teams. She was on Katie's team. Katie. So Katie lost the first person here. All right, let's jump into episode 3, double title, double trouble, double tribal, double trouble.
So Chris watched this episode before I did and said, he texted me and said, oh, by the way, there's a fun little twist in episode 3. And I was like, is it the title of the episode that they both go to tribal council? Come on, Chris. And then realized, no, that was not the twist he was talking about. I didn't give him enough credit. I apologize for something that you didn't know that I did.
Yep. Not accepted. Okay. The young crew of Yasser is upset with Eliza for splitting off and voting for Dolly without like telling them, which is understandable, I think.
Yeah. They mostly were like, it's fine that you did it, but just tell us that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fair.
With the men, Sarge is annoyed that Rory isn't helping much with the physical work. JP is like noticeably watching this kind of argument, trying to see like, is there a way I can like wedge myself in here and like split them up? Because currently like Sarge and Rory, despite their fighting, are like allied with, I want to say Chris, no, not Chris, with Chad and...
It's the older crew. So it's Travis, Chris, or sorry, Bubba, Chris, Sarge, Chad, and Rory.
Yeah. Yeah. And so JP like knows he's screwed. So he's trying to like wedge himself in there. But doesn't do so good with that.
There's also a big fight at Yasser between Mia and Twyla. Yes. About the discussion the previous night at Tribal Council about who was doing more work and stuff like that. And Mia felt like Twyla was saying that she wasn't doing any work. And Mia was like, no, I am working. Just nobody works as hard as Twyla does. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, this was a classic example of like Mia knew she isn't working as hard, which is why she got so heated and defensive about it.
Yeah. It also was to me like, you arguing this is not going to do anything but make you look worse. Like, everyone would have forgotten about that comment, except now you argued about it. And so now it's a thing. Which like, I feel like you don't want to be, you never want to be one of the two people who is like having a big argument on the tribe, because then it's the two of you that are going to need votes. And yeah.
Right. We go to a challenge, which turns out to be an immunity and reward challenge. This is going to be a tribe versus tribe challenge for reward. And then after that, individual challenges for the winning tribe for individual immunity. This was
because both tribes are going to tribal, hence right. Double tribal.
So this was a fun, like fun little change on the challenge sort of thing. The reward for this was a fishing kit. And the men win this reward. And so they have a shot at getting individual immunity. And this is one where they have to dig up a bunch of ladder runs to do this. John K is the one to win this immunity. And I think this is the twist I was talking about, right? Yeah.
Yes.
He gets to go to hang out at the Yasser camp. And then after their tribal council where he has immunity, he gets to give his individual immunity to one of the women, whoever he wants. And I am a big fan of this. I thought this was a very cool way to like kind of get one of the guys to like infiltrate the women's tribe, see like what the dynamics going on there, and also like have to play social dynamics of like, okay, who should I give this to? How's that going to play in the long run? Like, I thought this was a cool thing.
I thought it was very cool. I also want to know slightly more about it, I guess, because like John K, who had this, didn't spend any time at Lepevi before going to tribal council with them, but like seems to know the voting plan. Like, he voted with his alliance. And so how did that communication happen? And then also like
that, I would get who, well, who are the, cause he's not,
he voted with JP and Brady
for who?
Rory.
So my guess is like that had already been discussed. Like the older group was already knowing that they were going to get rid of JP. So like they already had that stuff set probably.
Yeah, that's probably true. John actively uses this to not cause any stirs at Yasser because he doesn't want them to like be mad at him, which I think is fair. Like, I think that's a smart use of this, but I am curious, like, I want to see this happen at some point and them have to scramble at tribal council.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. He got tons of information about it and comes off looking like a good guy to the other tribe because of not stirring shit up. So like he gets tons of info and some of this is their, or it's mostly their fault because he just gets there and he's like, all right, who voted off Dolly? Who was like the woman who just went home. So he's like, who voted off Dolly? Immediately that split the tribe. So that told him who the alliances were in, which they didn't have to split up based off of that. They could have just been like, we're not telling you that. But they immediately split. So that told him exactly how the alliances are, which is going to be useful information for later. Liza tries to lay out tons of information here. He is not the biggest fan of Eliza, says that she's talking a lot. There is a fun point where he like, I thought it was funny just because like she was like going on and on. It was clearly something that like he asked this question, got his answer, and then she was continuing to talk about it.
Right.
He was like, no, I'm good, thanks. And like gets up to leave, and which was a very obvious like social signal of like, okay, I'm done talking to you now. I'm going to walk away and go talk to other people. And she just gets up and walks with him and like continues talking.
There was another point when he's like done talking to that alliance and goes and talks over to the other girls, or sorry, other women and people in the tribe. And Eliza just like comes over and interrupts that conversation. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. Like, you are not getting this immunity.
Right. And so as Patrick mentioned, he wants to kind of just make peace and not piss them off. So his plan is to give it to somebody that is unaffected by like who they're not planning on voting for anyways, which we'll see at tribal council. In the men's tribe, JP is feeling vulnerable and wants to whip up some votes to get rid of Rory. There's some other, like Chris is telling Sarge that, or Chris doesn't want this to happen. He tells Sarge that it's not the time to break ranks, like just to stick with our plan, which we see that's what they do. So at the men's tribal council, John K has immunity. Brady says that Sarge is more personable than he expected. The guys are impressed with how John K got all of that info from Yasser. And JP once again tries to argue like we should keep the strong guys so we don't lose challenges. It's too early to play an individual game. And they ignore that and vote JP out 5-3. That has happened 14 times on Survivor. We have only seen two of those, which were both in season 5 from Jed and Ken. And now we've seen it with JP and then in like a few minutes with Mia.
Jed and who?
Ken.
Okay. Yeah.
So we saw it twice in season 5 and then twice right now in season 9. And then we go to the women's tribe where John K gives Amy the immunity. He says she wasn't on the chopping block and that they need to figure shit out themselves. And it doesn't really change much if he gives her immunity, which was an interesting way to go about it. I think it's a way to like kind of not make them all pissed off at him for future merge stuff. But it would have been interesting, especially like at this time, because they don't do like the live tribals this early. So it would have been a chaotic vote, maybe. I guess what really would have happened is, I don't know how chaotic the vote would have been. Like if he had given it to, say, Mia, who ended up getting voted off here, the other group, it would have been interesting to see if they were organized enough to know who their like number two vote should be.
Which I feel like they would have had to. Like when they all go in there being like, yeah, we're going to vote Mia, they had to have a plan for Johnny give it to Mia. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Then what? Like, or unless all five of them just didn't think about that, which would be wild.
Yeah. There is a little bit of talk about they just like talk about the discord in the group, the fight between Mia and Twyla saying that she's always gotten along better with men than with women, and she's not feminine. And so we're gonna see if that changes going forward, but so far not really.
I was going to wait to talk about this until later, but actually I think it would be better now. I think it's interesting that Johnny is like, you guys need to figure your stuff out because it's like total chaos in your camp, because that's not what's happening at Lepevi, but not to John's favor. Like Lepevi, I think it's interesting that the two tribes are very different, right? Well, up until the swap, that Lepevi is very much like, we have a unit of five against a unit of four, and we're just going to pick them off one by one, and that's just how it is going to be, and we're not changing that. Where Yasser and the women have been like switching up alliances left and right. Like every vote has been a different alliance, it feels like. There's generally like older versus younger, but there's like a middle crew that is going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like Eliza and Lisa and Leanne too, I think, kind of does. And like it's much more fluid over there.
Yeah.
Which I am fascinated by the different dynamics of those two tribes.
Yeah, that it'll be interesting to see that middle crew for the Yasser might fare better in like a merge situation.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see. So that was JP got voted off, who was on our guest Katie's fantasy team. So she's lost two people so far at this point. And then Mia was off my fantasy. Patrick is going strong still.
Yeah.
And we head into episode 4. Now that's a reward. And here the vote, they weren't sure, like the alliances on Yasser weren't sure how that vote was going to go. It turns out Lisa flipped and voted for Mia, which made Eliza mad. In Lepevi, the young guys know that they're in trouble. And we
which are just Brady and John now.
Yeah. And we get tree mount and go to a reward challenge, which is a memory game, which we've seen games like this before. The reward is that they will have one of the native islanders named Da come and teach them, like spend a day with them, teach them how to survive and stuff like that, which is a reward, like the name of the episode.
From the tree mail for this reward challenge, it seemed to be like a matching game, and I thought it was going to be like the Go Fish challenge. But it was not. I was just disappointed because I really like the Go Fish challenge.
Yeah, that was a good. That one is a good one to like get the tribes to interact with each other.
Yeah, and right, like an episode before a swap, I feels like the best time for that, but it didn't happen.
The women end up winning this reward challenge 5-2. They dominate it.
The men fuck this up.
Yeah.
It gets to a point where like they know where a lot of the things are, but not where any of the pairs are. And the men keep like revealing new things that help the women get matches when the men should have like thrown a turn essentially, right, so that the women reveal information and then they can get it. But
the
women
get like
four
tides
in a row because the men keep handing it to them essentially.
Yeah. It even gets mentioned like by one of the contestants or by Jeff or something of like, you're just going to pick up one that you already know about. And I was like, yeah, that's the smart idea. Do that. And
yes,
then they don't.
Yeah. Jeff is like, ooh, is he going to go for something new or something that he already knows?
Right.
Okay.
The women win. And so Da comes to join their camp and shows them all sorts of cool stuff. He climbs up a tree to cut down some coconuts, shows them how to break open the coconut to drink, shows them where to find manioc root to cook and other greens, sugar cane. He makes them a meal, looks like a soup. And the
sugar cane is so great.
Yeah, because that's usually what a lot of them crave is like sweet stuff.
Yeah.
In the men's camp at Lepevi, they're tired of eating plantains. Travis is missing his family. Rory kind of tells him bluntly, like he's got to cut it out because it's going to affect him physically if he starts like worrying about stuff emotionally. And Rory and Sarge are bickering back and forth.
We did see with that, we got to see like Bubba and Rory are actually friends, which like we hadn't seen at all. We hadn't seen Rory be friends with anybody. And so him like giving Bubba this kind of pep talk or Travis this kind of pep talk was like, they like hugged and said that they loved each other. And I was like, oh, okay. You guys like are actually friends.
Yeah. Da helps the women with their shelter. This is the first time we've seen shelter get made this way. So he like splits the bamboo down lengthwise and like lays it flat and then lays that down as like a mattress of sorts for them to sleep on, which they said feels a lot better. But I don't think we've seen that like in any season so far of like them building a mattress that way. It's usually just like solid rods of bamboo.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
He tries to take them out at night with torches to look for crabs, but they don't find any that night. They do get a crab the next morning. And then he's kind of on his way and the women are very sad about it because he helped them a lot.
I think that this is like, I mean, the episode title says like, that's a reward. That is, we saw this in season 5, I think, and like thought it was super, super cool. Then this specifically does not just like give them so many skills for the island, but also just like unites them as a tribe as they are like learning and not talking about the game, just talking about survival for a day. Yeah. And like they kind of leave their troubles behind, and it's like more than just the food. It is a morale boost and a like unifier for them in a way that is invaluable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's a overpowered reward, kind of like it helps their tribe so much, but because their tribes are going to get shaken up next episode, then kind of shares the wealth a little bit there. On the men's tribe, right before the meeting challenge, we have Rory trying to fish with the Hawaiian sling. And John is trying to cause a rift between Sarge and Roy, kind of trying to continue what JP was trying to do last episode. The immunity challenge is kind of like a Sudoku puzzle with blocks of like different colors and symbols. Lopevi was kind of just in chaos here, not like figuring anything out, and the women doing pretty well with this. I thought this should have been like way easier than the tribes made it look.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just because I like puzzles like this.
I was like, this should not be hard. I feel like I could do this in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, my thought. Which, so, my thought was like
tiles around makes it harder.
Yeah, my thought was like make a diagonal of one color, and then you like work from there. Like it's just it should fall into place like very easily after that.
There is, I think, Lopevi tried to do this maybe, but I was like, I would. So there were four different colors and four different symbols, and you had to get one of each color and one of each symbol in each row and column.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I would have just like done the colors and diagonals and then figured out the symbols after that, in probably a similar pattern of just like, you know, this one off in the diagonal or like opposite diagonals, I think would have worked. They made this way harder than it needed to be.
And it showed
one of them says like, let's do the colors first and then rearrange for the icons. And I think that is a good idea.
Yeah. Then there's especially chaos with Lopevi, with the men's tribe, where Rory is the one giving instructions because they had like people up on like a kind of like a lifeguard chair who could look over it. I don't think that role was really that necessary. Like, I feel like it wasn't that hard to just see the board from the ground, but.
Yeah, I think it would have been better without it. But also, why did they choose Rory to be their leader when, like, they don't listen to Rory? Like,
I was confused by that, too, because they just won a challenge with a similar role last episode with Sarge as that role. So why not just have Sarge do it again?
Right. Yeah.
Maybe Which Rory maybe was like, maybe Rory was like, I'm a puzzle guy, and Sarge is maybe not a puzzle guy.
That is true. Rory did, like, call himself a puzzle guy.
So that might be why. There is a thing afterwards where Sarge says, he's like, right away, I knew what to do, but I didn't want to step on Rory's toes, which I think is probably bullshit. And he didn't actually know what to do right away, but maybe he did. I don't see him just like tanking a win just because he didn't want to like annoy Rory.
Yeah. But also he like knows he's not actually in trouble. So maybe.
Yeah. Rory feels bad for the loss. John asks Travis why they're picking off the like strong players. And Travis is like, who do you think is the boss of this alliance? And he like makes a guess or two. And he's like, it's Sarge. Like Sarge is the one controlling it, which is interesting. I guess I didn't realize that. But it's interesting going back like an episode when JP was trying to like cause rifts in this to Sarge. He's like trying to get Sarge to flip kind of, and knowing that he's the leader of that is like, well, obviously you're not going to get the leader to flip then.
But Sarge does almost flip and like Chris has to convince him. I think that Sarge is the like supposed leader, but Bubba and Chris are like pulling the strings actually.
Yeah, that might be. I am kind of curious how close Sarge was to flipping or not. So like Sarge talks about how he doesn't really want Brady gone because Brady's a really strong worker, but then his alliance ends up voting for Brady. So I'm a little curious like how close if it was just like a, hey, I'm voting, I know I'm voting Brady off. It sucks to see it though. Like, I don't want to see him go, but like where right. he was at in there.
In this episode, I don't think he was actually very close. I think he was closer in the last episode. The reason I don't think he was close in this episode is because Johnny also votes for Brady. And I think like the editing made it seem like maybe it won't be Brady, but the talk around camp was like, no, it's going to be Brady. Mm-hmm. Like if there was any doubt of that, Johnny would have not voted for Brady.
Yeah. Tribal Council, Bubba talks about how he thinks that they are going to regroup and do better, which I think Jeff says like, yeah, people always say that, like that doesn't actually happen. I don't know if Jeff says that, or maybe that's just what I was thinking.
Jeff says something about that. Jeff is a lot sassier this season in a great way.
And here's where JP says that they started the individual, or no, it must not be JP because JP's gone. Must have been John. Maybe John K said they started the individual game too soon.
Brady says it, I think.
Okay. And Brady gets voted out 6-1, which has happened 24 times on the show. We have seen Kimmy, Frank, Daniel, Michelle, Richard, and Alicia all get voted out 6-1. And now Brady.
You said Michelle. Who's Michelle?
She was on season 7. She was like a younger blonde, I think.
Oh boy, I don't remember her at all. Okay, it's fine. I just don't. I was trying to like remember all the people that you said, and I have no memory of her.
Hold on, I'll pull up. She was with glasses.
Oh, yeah. Okay. When you said blonde, I was like, that was Krista. Michelle. Okay, I remember Michelle.
All right. Let's head into the final episode of this batch for this episode, which is episode 5, Earthquakes and Shakeups.
Which we mentioned in our last episode, like, what could these episode titles mean? And we were like, oh, earthquake is just like, you know, it's a metaphor. It's not. It was a real earthquake.
Yeah. Before that, we get a what I think is a very dumb argument on the Lapevi tribe where they're arguing over where to sit for the good side of the fire. And I'm like, there's like 7 of you. Is there 6 of you? 7?
6 now.
6 at this point. I'm like, there's 6 of you. Move some logs. Like, you can all sit on the same side of the fire. You don't have to like keep stuff where it is.
So just, I agree with you that this is a dumb argument. To clarify, it's more about they also sleep around the fire, and it's about their sleeping arrangements, which it is harder to put like all of them sleeping on one side of the fire.
Yeah.
But they're just like, one of them is like, okay, let's just like rotate every night. And yes, just do that.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. I don't know why we're fighting about this.
Yeah. Their main fight is because because of where the fire is, like the wind basically blows in the same direction all the time. So one side of the fire is always getting smoked out. But then, yeah, that's where I was just like, so just don't have people sit on that side. There's 6 of you. You got space. Move.
Yeah.
Or rotate. Yeah. Here for both tribes, Lapevi and Yasser, some people show up in like their catamaran sort of boats and say that they need to nominate a chief. Sarge gets chosen as the chief of Lapevi, and Scout is the chief of the women's tribe.
And then the people that come and give them this like chief garb just leave.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
That was funny because while they were like talking and deciding, Sarge was like taking off his like pants and shoes because he's like, oh, I'm gonna have to walk out into the water and like get in this boat. And then they just like leave, and he's like, okay, all right, cool. And then we have an earthquake.
Yeah. This was cool because like I think it was Amy was like mid confessional, and it just like starts shaking. Mm-hmm. All of them freak out. Obviously, like, have you ever been in an earthquake?
Nope.
I've never experienced an earthquake. One of them says, like, I've heard of an earthquake before, but I didn't expect it to be like literally the earth shaking underneath me. And I was like, I mean, yes, that's what an earthquake is, but also, yeah, that's terrifying. I've never really considered how scary that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly because they're so close to volcanoes, I think that if I were them, I would have been like, do we need to evacuate? Like, is this an earthquake or is this a volcanic eruption? Are we safe?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure like the crew's also there, like freaking out.
Yeah. We see like footage of like dropped cameras and stuff. Uh-huh. It felt like Cloverfield or something.
So after all of this, they head to group up for like what would be their reward challenge. Or what is their reward challenge? And they are, Jeff tells them that they have to split the tribe into, we're going to like redraft teams. And they have to pick like male, female. So the teams will be split. And that scout gets to split the teams up, but then Sarge, as the other chief, gets to pick which one he wants, which I thought was a cool idea here to make the teams.
I thought it was cool, but because of this, it allowed for it to not actually be evenly split.
Yeah.
Which ends up being rough, as we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So the new Lopevi tribe is Sarge, Julie, Chris, Chad, Twyla, and John Kay, I think. And then Yasser is Leanne, Scout, Eliza, Amy, Rory, Bubba. I feel like I forgot somebody.
No, I think that's everybody.
Okay. I listed JP, but he was gone like two episodes ago. So I don't know why I keep putting notes about him in here.
I didn't even notice that you said JP.
I didn't. I like had it typed out and I purposely didn't say his name because I was like, oh, wait, he's gone.
One note is that they pick everybody except
Amy. I did leave somebody off because I only named 12 people. There should be 13.
Are you missing? Name your Yasser again.
Leanne, Scout, Eliza, Amy, Rory, Bubba. I'm missing a guy from that tribe.
No, you're not. You're missing Lisa.
Oh. That tribe's four to two. Okay.
That tribe's 5-2.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 5-2. Yeah.
Lisa didn't get picked. Like when Scout was switching tribes, Lisa was left out. And I thought it was going to be something of like, you know, first person gets voted out, Lisa like fills their spot or something like that. Lisa thought it was going to be like, I'm just eliminated, see you later. Turns out she just got to pick which tribe she wanted to be on, which is cool for her. Yeah. So it still ends up being very much a, like, we have a female dominated tribe and a male dominated tribe.
Yeah, it was an easy decision for her to make. Like, obviously, she's going to pick the one that's got more women on it. It would have been maybe more interesting to see what would happen if she would have, if like something would have caused it to be like a 3-3 split for a tribe or something. But yeah, so the shakeup is like kind of interesting, but still is very lopsided.
Yeah.
The reward for this challenge that they're going to do is they get all the Pringles they can eat and beer.
This episode brought to you by beer.
Yeah. Nameless beer, not nameless Pringles. They have to dive underwater to grab markers. Whichever team gets the most in 10 minutes wins. This was a very close one. As they go, like each new marker they get, they have to dive deeper and deeper. And we find that is a huge issue because some of them are having to go very far down and the pressure from the water is like really hurting their ears.
Yeah. Like 22 feet they get to. Mm-hmm. That's really deep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like surprised that that's like safe.
Yeah. So Lopevi ends up winning this, the new Lopevi. And so they get to go have all the Pringles they can eat, which I find debatable because when they show up, there's only like 6 cans of Pringles there.
I bet that production would have given them more Pringles.
I hope so. Cause I was looking at it and I was like, I could eat a whole can myself. Like now watching the show, not even like if I was there and very hungry.
Yeah. I do maybe think that I could eat more now than when I was there because like
stomach shrinkage
and just feeling sick.
Yeah. Yeah. So they eat a bunch of Pringles, different flavors. They drink beer. And Twyla is having fun with her. Like she's enjoying her new tribe because she's like she said a couple episodes ago, she gets along better with men and she's in a tribe that's mostly men.
And with Chris, they talk about their benefits and stuff as highway workers.
Yes. Oh, I loved that. I like called that out in our first episode, like last episode when I was like, he's highway construction and she's highway
repair.
And I was like, oh, these two need to meet. They're going to bond over highway stuff, which I mostly said jokingly. And they immediately bonded over highway stuff.
Yes, absolutely. It, to the extent that they like talk about comp time.
Yeah.
Excellent. So good. Yeah.
We jump to Yasser, day 11. Bubba is very excited about the sugar cane that were taught how to do. And the guys are all happy about the food. We get, I think it's right here where, is it Lisa who's like excitedly telling them about all of this stuff?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's Amy doesn't want her to.
Yeah. Lisa's like excitedly telling the guys like, hey, look at all this cool stuff that we just learned from the last challenge that we won. And Amy's like, what are you telling them all this for? Like, she's like, it's cool. And she's like, yeah, but you don't need to tell them this. I'm with Lisa. I would have been like bragging about it too. Even like, I know like maybe strategy wise, like you don't want the guys to know that stuff, but like, it's cool. Like, I think it's very fun.
Yeah. And eventually, like, you still want these people to like you.
Yeah.
Whether it's because like you just have to live with them or because they're going to be on the jury eventually or something, like, as you want people to, I don't know, maybe I just want people to like me.
Yeah. So we head to the immunity challenge, and before the challenge starts, Bubba does something very stupid, which causes them to get eliminated this episode, where yeah. they're standing on their little like separate rugs that they do at the start of every challenge. And Bubba is separated from Chris, and they were allied before. And he's like, hey, Chris, think about the merge, which later he's trying to say that he did it with like hand signals and stuff. And I'm like, no, it was so obvious. You like said it out loud with your mouth.
Yeah, and it was very, very clear.
Yeah.
They keep saying like, it seemed like he was maybe trying to communicate something. And it was like, yes, he was trying to communicate something.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that just tells Bubba's tribe like, oh, you're still allied with the guys or with Chris from the other tribe. So why should we keep you around?
I do think if Chris would have like understood this and thought about it, it would have been good, because essentially what he was saying was, hey, throw this challenge so that like you protect us and get the ladies out.
Oh, like if Chris would have said that back to Bubba?
No, Chris should have thrown the challenge. Bubba was trying to get Chris to throw the challenge.
Oh, you think so?
Because Chris's tribe is mostly men. And so if they throw the challenge and vote out the women, then like all of the men are making the merge.
I see. I thought he was just like saying it as like a, just keep it in mind, like don't form new alliances situation.
No, I think he was saying throw this challenge.
Gotcha. Okay. So this has them, they have to like build a boat frame, paddle it out and paddle it back. I made a note. This season has a lot of knots being untied. Like every challenge, they're untying knots. Lots of knot untying.
Yeah, like even just this episode. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Lepevi has a huge lead going into the water. Yasser comes back somewhat, but not enough. Jeff gives Yasser shit when they lose, says Rory lost time on the knots and that it was the worst paddling he's ever seen.
I was really surprised that Jeff like called somebody one person out
yeah. on this. Yeah, I wonder if we're going to start seeing that a lot more just with his sassier Survivor guy self.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's been Survivor guy for a couple years of this.
I made a thing in my note I wanted to look up, because there's a comment where I don't even remember what she says, but Mia references Michael Jordan. And I was like, man, that's a dated reference. And then I was like, wait, in 2004, that was probably like a dated reference kind of then. So that's what I was looking
it's
up.
Not Mia, because Mia's gone, but one of them says something about you don't see Michael Jordan going over and whispering to the other team.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was like Amy then, and I just mistyped it as Mia. I don't know. I think somebody references
Amy,
it.
Amy was the one who was really upset about this.
Yeah. But I like made a note that I was like, because there a while ago there was a Lost Rewatch podcast that Patrick and I both listened to, and that one of their segments was like the most 2004 thing from this episode or whatever, like depending on what it was. And I was like, oh, that's a dated phrase right there, just referencing Michael Jordan. And then I was like, man, he probably retired before that. That's what I was looking up. He actually retired officially in 2003, so it wasn't that dated.
Oh. Yeah, it was not that. I mean, it was dated considering this came out in 2004, so like,
right.
Yeah, it is very 2004. I actually would have guessed that Michael Jordan retired in like 99, so that's a little surprising to me.
So he played for the Bulls from 84 to 93, switched to baseball, then back for the Bulls from 95 to 98, and then I think took a few years off and came back for the Washington Wizards in 2001 to 2003.
Gotcha. So I just imagined that the Washington Wizards never happened.
Yes.
And also have no sense of time of any of that because I was very young.
Yeah.
And don't care about basketball. So
all those things. Eliza talks about that before they go to tribal council. She mentions like, okay, listen, I know Bubba messed up, but like maybe having guys around is helpful for challenges and we shouldn't get rid of the guys. Doesn't change anything. She throws out the idea, but doesn't change it up. Amy throws out that Bubba signaled to Chris at the immunity challenge at Tribal Council. That's like the only thing of note that I wrote down. And Bubba gets voted out 6-1, which, I didn't write down the stats there for it because that just happened last episode. That's happened 24 times in the run of Survivor.
What do you think Michael Jordan's doing now?
No idea.
You don't hear anything from him. He's still alive, right?
Yes. He is 58 years old. It's almost his birthday. His birthday's on Thursday.
Oh, happy birthday, Michael Jordan.
He'll be 59.
Yeah. He apparently is part owner, or he's chairperson. I don't know what that means in NBA terms, of the Charlotte Hornets. Hmm.
Oh, that's where he did college basketball, I think, in North Carolina.
Yeah, he is UNC. Owner and chairman of the Charlotte Hornets. Yes.
Nice. In 2016, President Obama gave him the Presidential Medal something something.
Of Freedom.
A freedom. Yeah. I lost where I had that. All right, cool. Well, this is the Michael Jordan podcast where we don't know anything about Michael Jordan.
We do not.
Next week on Survivor, at least for episode 6, we get some info from the, like, next week on. Rory says he won't help around camp if he doesn't have a chance at staying. And some clothes come off for sunbathing at Lapevi. So that'll be some nice gross camera footage probably.
Yeah, great.
Our next batch of 4 episodes that we'll be covering next week are called Hogtied, Angers, Threats, Tears, and Coffee. Now the battle really begins, and Gender Wars, it's getting ugly.
Do you think Now the Battle Really Begins is merge time?
Maybe. So we're down to 12. So episode 6 would put us down to 11. Episode 7 would put us down to 10. So we'd have 10 in episode 8. So maybe.
Yeah. I'm really surprised we're down to 12. 7 women and 5 men. Like, that's a lot more lopsided than I expected it to be, I guess.
That's like, without being exactly even, that's the least amount of lopsided it could be.
I expected it to be exactly even, I guess.
Okay. I was like super hopeful that the women were just going to come out dominating and they're just going to be super lopsided. Yeah, so we'll see. But with episode 9 being called Gender Wars, it's getting ugly. I wonder if it's going to stay pretty even.
Yeah.
We shall see. So next week, we're going to talk about that batch of 4 episodes. And then we'll have another week where we talk about 4 episodes. And then we'll be at the finale for this. And then season 42, drop the 4, keep the 2. Fantasy-wise, I forgot to mention the last couple people that got off. So Bubba is gone, who is also on my fantasy team. So we lost. Did we lose? I feel like I didn't mention somebody else that got gone.
You didn't mention Brady, but Brady was not on anybody's team.
Right. Yes. So me and Katie both lost 2 of our people, and Patrick did not lose any of his people. So not great.
Well, I think it's pretty great. We need to name an MVP, and boy, howdy, do I have no idea.
Okay, ready.
Are you?
Yeah, man, don't put too much thought into it. It'll just who's the first name you thought of?
Oh, boy. Okay. I'm looking down this list of people and feel like I could make pretty valid arguments for most of them, including a lot of the people that got voted off.
I'm like semi-split between 2, but I'm just gonna go with my gut one that came to me first.
Okay. I have one.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Sarge.
Eliza.
I mostly just picked Sarge because like he was at least part of a strong alliance on the tribe he had. He got picked to be like the chief guy. He seems to be like keeping his cool, like not getting annoyed by things that like Rory was getting annoyed by, and like, I don't know, just seems like an all around to be doing okay. For similar reasons, I almost thought about going with Twyla, but I did not.
Actually, for those similar reasons, I almost said Scout, because she's just like keeping her hands clean on that tribe. I said Eliza because she was on the chopping block, but she pulled it out anyway, and she had like is maneuver, like she's making people angry, but she's like maneuvering things and is still around and is in a pretty good spot. So that's why I said Eliza. I do like this season. I feel like it's really weird because I don't feel like we have like really obvious power players.
Yeah, I agree. I would imagine that's going to come out a lot more in this next batch of episodes, but yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't know. Speaking of which, I guess we forgot to do a final three in the final three last week.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I kind of feel like any of these people can make the final three.
Okay. I'll say my final three right now.
Okay.
Actually, before that, should we say the points for what we've got in Survivor so far? Fantasy?
Sure. I'm winning with -1. Remember, you want to be low. So I have -1 from that. Then Chris has 27 and Katie has 33. Ugh. So they're pretty close, but I'm doing pretty well for now. I've been in this spot before though, and then just like gotten screwed over. So
all right, my final three: Eliza, Chad, Sarge.
Interesting. Huh. Okay. I'm gonna say Chad, Leanne, and Scout.
Oh, okay. Interesting. We'll see how that goes. Almost forgot, we didn't mention it, but I don't know if you've heard, Jeff dated one of the contestants from this season.
Oh yeah, do you know who?
Yes, I do. I forgot, but my roommate looked it up and told me, so now I do know. So I'm trying to watch out for it. I feel like I've seen a couple eyes here and there, but
oh really,
I don't know if that's actually accurate. It's probably just me imagining. Do you know who?
No.
Do you want to know who?
Yeah.
Julie. Youth okay, mentor.
That's why I picked her, because I thought it might have been her.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been in the background a lot in these first batch of episodes.
Yeah. There's just been a couple times when they were like sitting there waiting for people to come in that it looked like they like smiled at each other. But that's probably just like, you know, general like niceties, because they're probably not act like they've had very little interaction so far. And I would hope for professionality's sake that like none of this stuff happened till after the season. Like they schmoozed it up at like the reward or the reunion or something, and that's what started it, but who knows.
I mean, I think that is expecting a lot from Jeff.
Yeah, you know, I just have faith in Survivor guy, wouldn't think he would mess it up.
That's true. She does date Jeff. We don't know if she ever dates Survivor guy.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got anything else to talk about?
No.
All right, cool. Wait, sorry.
With that, do you know how long they date?
No idea.
Okay. Well, never mind.
Listeners, if you want to email us any thoughts about this season, about season 42, drop the 2 or the 4. Keep one of the other ones. I forgot. I messed it up. Drop the 4, keep the 2. Send us emails, thoughts. We always like hearing those when we'll maybe read them on the air if you send them in. So do that. You can email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20 on Twitter. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken. Patrick almost forgot to say his part.
I did.